All right, well, this morning there's no children's church, but the kids are going to have a few opportunities this morning to enjoy some of the videos that we have this morning. So the title today is Give It Away, and it's really a continuation from the last few weeks. And the last few weeks, we've seen in letters from John that John is writing, the Apostle John is writing to Christians, and he's wanting us Christians to have an intimate relationship with Jesus. And so he breaks his letter into two parts. The first part of 1 John, he's talking all about light, how God is light. And the second part, he's talking about how God is love and we need to give God's love away. And so we saw last week that in the first 12 verses of chapter 4, that believers stand firm in God's truth and follow his example of love. And we know, or if we know God, we believe the truth about Jesus. And if we know God, we listen to the apostles' witness. That's all of the things that they said and did written in the New Testament. And if we know God, then we experience his love and we pass it on to others. And so we're passing on God's truth and his love and the witness of Jesus to others. And today we're going to continue and finish actually chapter 4 of 1 John. And so I encourage you to open your Bibles today to 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to be starting in verse 13. So 1 John's near the end of the New Testament, close to Revelation. There's 1st, 2nd, 3rd John and Jude, and then we get to Revelation, but we are in 1 John, so we're near the end of 1 John today. And as we see today, that our main idea today for 1 John 4, 13 to 21, is that let's love imperfect people with God's perfected love. So let's love imperfect people with God's perfected love. And we're going to see that not just that there's imperfect people around us, but we are also imperfect people. And so we're going to see that today, loving imperfect people with God's perfected love. And so we saw in 1 John 4 that John was talking about what this perfected love means. And then that's kind of where we ended last week in verse 12. Hearing from what John said in verse 12 was, "No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." And so we're looking at this idea of what it means to have complete love, to have the love that is perfected only in Jesus. And so we're going to watch a video clip, a kid's video clip, but it's really good for everybody. So it's from Phil Vischer, and it's called 1 John, What is a Christian? So that's just the intro to that video, about a minute long.
Hey everybody, let's take a look. Near the end of the Bible is a really little book, but it's got a lot of stuff that we can learn. So come on everybody, it's time to turn to the letter we call 1 John.
Oh look, we're back again. This is Phil, and we're going through 1 John.
This is Emily Elephant, also going through 1 John.
And this is Sam. I'm going through 4 John.
There's no such thing as 4 John.
Does that mean I can't go through it?
It makes it difficult. But we are on chapter 4 of 1 John, so we got the number 4 in there somewhere.
It'll do. Hey, Elephant, read the verses.
I don't know what they are.
Hang on, Sam. I haven't given her the verses yet. We're going through 1 John, where the Apostle John tells us what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus, a Christian. He talks about three things, remember?
True teaching, true living, true loving.
And he keeps going over them, in circles, around and around and around.
Which one is he talking about now? Teaching? Or living? Or loving?
We'll find out when we read the verses. Emily, can you read chapter 4, verses 13 through 21?
All right, so true teaching, true living, and true loving, and that's what 1 John has been about so far. And so we're going to read 1 John chapter 4 and verses 13 to 16 right now. And so it says this in 1 John 4, 13. "This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. All right, so these verses right here, there's this coming right off of this continuation from verse 12 that I just read a minute ago, where God's love is made complete. And so John is writing, you know, this is how we know, this is how we experience Jesus. This is how we abide in Jesus. This whole letter so far is talking about how we abide and have fellowship in Jesus. And so every time in these verses it says live, that we live in God, that we live in God's love, it's the word abide. But so we abide in him. And our first point today is that imperfect Christians that we are, we live or abide in God's love. So we live in God's love. And that's how his love flows out of us. So first we have to be abiding in him, living in him. It shows us here that this example of God. God is a triune God. It's not just God the Son or God the Father or God the Spirit, but he is a triune God. And these verses show that too. It says that in verse 14, it says that we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And right before that says that he has given us his Spirit. So all three of those are showing up right here. That God the Father gave his Son, and that he's also given us the Spirit, his Holy Spirit. And they have this perfect relationship, and they want us to have a perfect relationship with him. And so, but we need to see that living in God's love is the goal here. Living in God's love, that's the first thing we need to figure out, is not to do things on our own, but to live into God's love. And to really know and experience God's love so that we can really believe and trust that God is love and that we have confidence in him. So this idea of living in God's love actually comes from the Gospel of John. And the Gospel of John, you know, written by the same person, in John 15, 5 and 6, it says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, and you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. Ouch. So we need to be living in God's love, being abiding, being a part of God, because we can't do anything on our own. And if we try to do it on our own, then we're like this branch that's cut off and withers. Maybe we don't even realize that we're withering. Maybe we don't even realize we've been cut off. But it says in John 15 that branch is then thrown into the fire. Not only is it not producing fruit, but it's worthless and being destroyed. And so we want to abide in God's love, because God is love. And it says there in 16 that whoever lives or abides in love abides, again, lives in God, and God abides in them. So there's three times right in that little phrase that we are to abide in God's love. And so, imperfect people, we are to live in God's love. And then he continues in verse 17. And in verse 17, it says this. So, 1 John 4, verse 17. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, verse 18, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. All right, so there's this idea here where this complete love, this so perfected love, and this is the same word that we saw in verse 12 from last week, is this love that God is giving us is being made perfect, or being made, it's expanding, it's being bigger. It is being worked on to make it more perfected. And when we have that perfected love, when we have that complete love, then we don't need to fear what it says here, punishment. So, because in verse 17, it's talking about this love that's complete. And when we have this love complete, we're not worried about or fearful of punishment. Well, what is this punishment? He's talking about the day of judgment. Well, as Christians, we don't need to be fearful of the day of judgment. And we don't need to be fearful of the day of judgment. But if we don't have the one, or it says there in 18, that the one who fears is not made perfect in love. So if we're fearful of the day of judgment, there's probably a reason we're fearful. And we need to get right with the Lord. But he's not saying you should be fearful. He's saying that perfect love drives out fear. So if we have the love of Jesus and we're letting God perfect his love in us, that's our second point today. Number two, our second point is perfected love. Imperfect Christians let God's love be perfected. And so we let God's love be perfected in us. It's not our love, it's Jesus' love that we're letting him make better and better, completing it. All right, so the next part of this video, we'll watch from Phil Vischer and What is a Christian in 1 John, and let's watch it.
Love, 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 fear, love. That's what I got.
What are we afraid of that we're not supposed to be afraid of?
Right. Someday God is going to set everything straight. Someday everyone who has hurt anyone else will have to pay for what they've done.
Sort of like getting called to the principal's office.
Ooh, I don't like getting called to the principal's office.
Nobody does. Everyone knows they've done some bad stuff. They've hurt other people. And the idea of being called before God to pay for what we've done is pretty scary. So John is reminding us of something. When God's love is in us and Jesus has paid the penalty for us, we have no reason to be afraid of that day. God has already forgiven us.
God's perfect love takes away fear. We don't have to be afraid of the day we'll stand before God because we know he loves us and has already forgiven us.
That's really fantastic.
It sure is. Okay, Emily.
All right, so God's love drives out fear. And we don't need to be afraid because we know that God has already forgiven us. And when God's love is in us, they said, we don't have to be afraid. So God's love drives out fear, and we don't need to be afraid if God's love is in us. And we're letting God and letting his love be perfected in us, being completed in us. And in the study Bible I read, it says in this context, the overall theme is loving one another. We may say believers who love one another in the same way that Jesus loved his disciples when he was in the world and showed that they live in God and therefore need to have no fear of his judgment. And so in the same way, we don't need to be fearful of God's judgment because we know that God has forgiven us in Christ Jesus. Amen. And the realization of God's love penetrates our hearts and minds. We are made perfect in love, and and the fear of judgment is removed, it says. So that love gets better and better. It's being perfected. In fact, this is not the first time we saw this term in 1 John. In fact, in 1 John 2, verse 5, it says that if anyone obeys his word, the love of God is truly made complete in them. So if we obey the Lord and obey his word, that's showing the fruit of our obedience. That's showing the fruit in our lives of his perfected love. So first, we need to live in God's love, abiding in him, And then secondly, we need to let God's love be perfected in us. And so then he goes on in verse 19 of 1 John. Says this in verse 19. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother or sister. And so we know from God, this is definitely a repeated that John keeps saying. You can't love God, you can't say you love God and then hate your brother or sister. You can't, it just doesn't work. You can't say, oh, I love God, and then your life is acting, it shows that you don't have God's love in you, and it's not being made complete in you, and you're fighting with your siblings, or you're fighting with your church family, when this was more the context here. You're fighting with your church family. If people say they're a Christian, and you're not loving them, there's a big problem. We can't get along inside the church. How are we supposed to have a witness for people outside the church? How are people going to say, wow, I really want to embrace that love that God gives you when you can't even love your neighbors? You can't even love your friends, the people that call themselves Christians. And so we're going to watch the third part of this clip from What's in the Bible, or not What's in the Bible, Phil Vischer's What is a Christian?
If we know God and God's love is in us, it'll show when we're around others.
Like a garden hose.
A garden hose of love.
Yep. Clearly, John wasn't done talking about true love, because true love is the center of the gospel. It's the center of who God is. It's what being a child of God and living in the kingdom of God is all about. God calls us to a life of amazing supernatural love and then gives us the power to live that life. See you next time.
By the way, I encourage you guys, especially those of you who have kids or neighbors that have kids, to watch this on Right Now Media. It's really good. I mean, as you can see, it's really straight from the Bible and just talking through the different things that maybe kids or others would question, like, you know, and then relating it to real life things like a garden hose, God's love. Yeah, I was saying last week that our love is, we're supposed to be conduit Christians, not cul-de-sac Christians. I mean, that was from Tony Evans' video, but then they're saying that it's kind of the idea of a garden hose. We don't just clog up the garden hose, but we let God's love come through us and pass it on to others. I know Kenny was wanting me to talk about circuits and how you can just turn off a circuit and that's it. Like the electricity is going to be gone right there. And so all these imageries of the same thing, we're supposed to give it away. We're supposed to pass on the love of God to others. And at first, we need to be abiding in God's love. And then we need to be letting God's love be perfected, but then not just hold on to it ourselves. We're supposed to give it away. And so that's our third point today, is that imperfect Christians like us, we're to love everyone with God's love. Love everyone with God's love. And God gives us the power to live that kind of life. But often it's easy just to hold on to his love for ourselves. But we need to open our eyes to opportunities where we can love others. And we can use God's perfected love to love others that are imperfect, including ourselves. My wife saw this on social media this week, and I thought it was an interesting quote. It's a slide, but it says, "I love you." And it says, you're probably thinking, you don't even know me. Well, that's true, but if people can hate for no reason, I can love. And I thought that was really cool. And we both kind of thought this, like, well, we don't have no reason to love. We have, I mean, that's a great point, that if people can hate for no reason, then we can choose to love for no reason. But as Christians, we don't have that no reason. We have a reason. We have God's love in us, and we're abiding in Him. And so because we're abiding in Him and He's abiding in us, and His love is being made complete and perfected in us, even though we're imperfect people, we can still choose to love with His love, and we can give it away. We can love for the reason, because God told us to. But it's still a choice. Love is a choice. And I love how my former pastor, Ryan Paulson, said this. If you can see them, so if you can look out and you can see someone, you're called to love them. So our job isn't choosing who should we love or not. It's if they're in our life, if they're people that we can interact with, if they're people, we're called to love them. As Christians, we're called to love people. It said in the study Bible that a true experience of God is such that it cannot exist without manifestation in love for His people. God is loving, and those born of God are loving as well. And those who do not love do not know or personally experience God. So we don't know God if we're not people that love. You know, in this video, or in this movie we're going to watch on Friday night, I can only imagine, it's a great story of this child who went through a childhood where he didn't experience love. And he didn't experience love in his family, or it just all kinds of brokenness. But through redemption, through Jesus, he begins to love again. Because he saw that Jesus loves him, and he saw that other people in his life started choosing to love him. And so I really encourage you to come out and watch this on Friday night, or if you can't, watch it another time. I can only imagine as the movie, this story of this boy that then wrote this song, and it's very redeeming in his relationship with his father. But, you know, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about loving your neighbor and hating your enemy. And he says in Matthew 5, "But I tell you, love one another. And pray for those who persecute you." We're supposed to be the kind of Christians, we're supposed to be the kind of people of Jesus, that we love our enemies. Not even people that are just in the church. And hopefully there's no enemies in the church or in as Christians. There's no enemies, hopefully. And if we're having enemies in the church, you might want to check your heart, because, I mean, it says here that anyone who loves God must also love their brother or sister. There can't be hate in us. And so in Matthew, Jesus is saying, we're supposed to pray for those who persecute you. And then he goes on and talks about, because our Father in heaven, He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. And if you love even those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that, Jesus says? And if you greet only the people, your own people, then what are you doing more than others? Even the pagans do that. So if we're just being friendly or kind to people, showing, you know, kind of fake love to others, that's nothing. And so then this is a statement he makes, and it's really confusing sometimes. That try to understand this. In verse 48 of Matthew 5, he says, "Be perfect, therefore, as your Father in heaven is perfect." Be perfect. And this idea of being perfect is hard to think about, hard to grasp. But here, as we've been seeing in this sermon and in 1 John, it's not just this idea of complete perfection, but it's this idea of God's perfection in us. It's not our own perfection, it's God's perfection. It's the same Greek word here that is used in 1 John 4 and a few places in 1 John, where it's this idea of God's love being made complete, God's love being expanded in our life, and therefore it is perfect love. And perfect love also drives out fear, he says. And perfect love is what he's offering. And so our main idea today is that we're supposed to love imperfect people. with God's perfected love. We're supposed to love imperfect people like me and you and others in our world around us, any people we can see, with God's perfected love. Because imperfect people like us live in God's love. Imperfect Christians like us, we let God's love be perfected. And imperfect people like me and you, we love everyone with God's love, not our own love. And in a song when I was a teenager, I listened to this song all the time called Give It Away by Michael W. Smith. And he says, we can entertain compassion for a world in need of care, but the road of good intentions doesn't lead anywhere. Because love isn't love until you give it away. And love is like a river flowing down from the giver of life. We drink from the water and our thirst is no longer denied. You gotta give it away. We have to give God's love away. Just like that garden hose or this conduit, we give this love that God is giving us. We're abiding in Him. We're letting God's love be perfected in us, and then we give it to others, and other people see us giving the love of Jesus to them. And when we do that, our witness for Jesus is way different than when we just try to love with our own love, or when we try to, when we say we love, but then we don't live up to it. So I want to just encourage you, as we close today, to think about these questions. Where has God's love been made apparent to you through other believers? And then how can you give God's love away? So take a moment to think about these questions. Lord, we thank you for your love and how you give it freely to us. God, we thank you that you sent your Son into the world to live a perfect life, a life that we can understand and that we can have fellowship with. And God, we thank you that your Son went through all the pain and suffering that it took to redeem us and save us from our sins, Lord Jesus. Thank you that he died on the cross for our sins. God, I ask that you would be drawing us closer and closer to you. And God, I pray that if there's people here or people that are watching that have not received you and received your Spirit, that they would do so today. God, I pray that you would be drawing each of us to yourself. Maybe we haven't been abiding with you recently, or not. We just feel disconnected from you, Jesus. I pray that you would be drawing us to yourself. And God, I pray that you would give us more of your love. And God, that your love would be perfected and be completed and expanded in us. And that, God, that we would not just hold on to that love, that we would give it away, that we would show other people that love, and we would not be fearful of punishment, but we would be giving away your love, and that others would see your love in our lives, Jesus, and want to know more about you and be drawn to you. And I pray if there's hate in our hearts, if there's bad intentions, or there's things that are wrong, there's sin, God, I pray that you would reveal that to us, and we would confess it, and we thank you that you are faithful to always forgive us and cleanse us of our sins. And so, Jesus, we just pray these things. Amen.